All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Fairly Lame podcast. As always, my name is Dom, and this is your home of good environmental news from all around the world. Hopefully, everyone is having a great day out there, and to make it that little bit better, you guys know the routine. Sit back, relax, light up a candle, grab yourself a nice warm beverage of your choice, and just settle in to enjoy this week's dose of good environmental news. So as always, for a quick rundown of the stories we'll be having a look at this week, we'll start off learning about how the River Thames was literally brought back to life, then a building which is covered with tanks of algae that actually produce a considerable amount of its electricity, how LA's mountain lion P22 led to the creation of the world's largest wildlife crossing, and finally, we'll finish up looking at the anonymous $40 million donation to Yellowstone National Park to create some much-needed housing for its staff. So to get straight into it, like I said, our first story is about how the River Thames was once considered biologically dead, but after a heap of restoration work, it now supports 115 species of fish, 92 types of bird, and occasionally even whales. So not to get too gross, but back in 1858, London's River Thames was actually clogged from the city's sewage and described as a fermenting open sewer before parts were eventually declared biologically dead roughly 100 years later. And so to bring this zombie river back to life, organisations like the Zoological Society of London have been constructing new wetlands and rain gardens along the banks, recreating parts of the natural riverbed, and they even reintroduced beavers which had been missing for 400 years. And as for the fermenting sewer part, the city has been improving its sewage system and is even building a $5 billion super sewer, which should be finished next year and prevent millions of tons of it from entering the waterway. And as a result, in the last state of the Thames report, which assesses the river by looking at 17 different indicators, it was found to be a healthy, thriving ecosystem that not only sustains wildlife, but also provides mental and physical benefits to people. Some of the positive long-term trends are that the diversity of birds and mammals is increasing, the levels of chemicals are stabilizing, and they also finally have enough data to benchmark plastic pollution, so now they can monitor how that improves as well. Now, for the second story of this week's episode, we're going to have a look at a building that's facade is covered with tanks of algae, which are actually able to provide about a third of its required electricity. So designed by the people behind the Sydney Opera House, the 15-story apartment block in Germany was created to be the first algae-powered building and explore how the technology could play a role in transitioning to carbon-neutral self-powering homes. Around the building, they installed 129 bioreactors, which they filled with algae from the local river, as well as recycled water, carbon dioxide, and essential nutrients. And so the sun heats the water to about 40 degrees Celsius, whilst also stimulating the algae to photosynthesize and multiply, with the warmth from the water then used to heat the building and the algae turned into a biofuel to produce electricity. With where the technology is at the moment, the current system contributes just over 30% of the building's energy, but so for the rest of it, it draws on other sustainable sources such as solar and geothermal. And on top of generating electricity, it's estimated that just one square meter of these algae panels is able to capture 2 tons of carbon, with an additional 6 tons saved by decreasing the use of fossil fuels. And so now moving on to the next story that I've got for you guys, which is about how the story of LA's iconic mountain lion P22 led to the world's largest wildlife overpass being built in California. So called the world's loneliest mountain lion, P22 was confined to LA's Griffith Park, which is surrounded by urban development on all sides, except for the 150,000-acre Santa Monica Mountains to the west. However, to get there, he would need to cross the 10-lane 101 freeway. And so as locals learnt about how he was forced to survive within just 8 square miles, they rallied together to fight for a wildlife overpass so P22 and all the other wildlife in the area could safely avoid the 400,000 cars that use the road every day. The plan was to build a bridge over the 10 lanes and cover the top with a bunch of native vegetation to turn it into a real functioning ecosystem, whilst also creating light and sound barriers so that the animals think it's just a regular part of the landscape. And a bridge like that might sound expensive, but researchers from Washington State found that just one crossing can save up to $500,000 every year through the prevented accidents and associated medical and insurance costs. Unfortunately, last year, P22 was hit by a car trying to cross a road, and although he won't be able to use his bridge, I think it's safe to say that he definitely won't be forgotten anytime soon. And finally, for the last story of this week's episode, an anonymous donor has given Yellowstone National Park $40 million to build crucial housing and create a little neighborhood for its thousands of staff. So last year, Yellowstone welcomed over 4.5 million visitors, which in turn generated $600 million for the local economy and supported over 6,000 jobs. But to cater for that many guests, as much as 3,000 people work in the park during the peak season. And to house them all, Yellowstone heavily relies on neighboring towns. However, that means that they're competing with all the travelers and investors for those homes, which has seen the median prices in some of those tiny towns skyrocket to over $900,000. So to ease some of the burden, an anonymous $40 million gift was given to the National Park Foundation to build about 70 units for the staff on some of the best real estate of all, being inside the spectacular Yellowstone National Park. The homes will be shared by the park staff so that people from all the different positions, such as the archaeologists, educators, scientists, medics, maintenance staff, and law enforcement, can all live together and form their own community. So guys, that is everything that I could squeeze into this week's episode of the Fairly Lame podcast. But as always, keep sending through everything that you guys are coming across so I can include it in future episodes. And yeah, we'll talk to you guys next week for another dose of good environmental news.